So this week, the lectionary passage takes us on the walk to Emmaus. The walk to Emmaus is one of my favorite post-resurrection appearances of Jesus, because I think that it can teach us a lot about finding God in our contemporary lives. Simon and Cleopas are walking along the road, strolling to a village called Emmaus, which we are told is not very far from Jerusalem. And as they are on the road, they're approached by a man who they do not know. And this man asks them, "What are you talking about?" And they tell him, "We are talking about these things that have transpired with this guy named Jesus. And it's been 3 days, and all of this has happened." It was quite fresh news for them. They talk of the women who went to the tomb early on Easter morning and discovered that Jesus was not there. And then they went, and others followed to confirm that news. And so the man starts teaching them about the scriptures and teaching them about the things that have transpired. And they invite him to share a meal with them. And as he does, this man who journeyed with them on this road takes bread and he breaks it. And it's at that moment that he's breaking bread with them that they have a very familiar memory. It's at that moment that they realize that this is the risen Christ who is seated before them, who is breaking bread around an inclusive table with them, just as he did in the days leading up to his execution and arrest. So they realize that this is Jesus, and at the moment that they make that realization, this man disappears. This lesson teaches us a lot about the ways that we encounter the risen Christ in our daily lives. Oftentimes, it's not until after the fact or in later reflection that we realize that we were having a holy moment. There are moments throughout our lives where we feel this sort of urge. We feel this pull on us. We feel that we are in the presence of something holy. We're in the presence of the miracle of the risen Christ. And I think that this story is a testament of the early disciples having such experiences. So as we think about how does this shape our Easter walk, as we are in this season of the 50 days of Easter, how are we encountering the risen Christ in our daily lives? Well, it's going to be a little bit different than normal because our current lives look a lot different than they used to. But I still think that there are those holy moments that are happening, those moments that are waiting for us, waiting for us to realize that they are indeed holy moments. I think that there's a lot of interactions and a lot of reconnections and a lot of different people that we might not otherwise have expected to be people that are embodying the risen Christ in our lives. Sometimes people who are just simply grocery store workers or gas station attendants or the people that really were in the shadows for most of our daily lives, but now who have become essential to our survival. I think these people and their compassion and their empathy and their generosity and their graciousness in continuing to put themselves out there and to risk themselves and their health and their families in order to provide us with these essential services, I see in them the embodiment of the risen Christ, of somebody who is helping us break bread with our own families as they put their health at risk to help us be able to do that. I think that we're seeing sacrifice in the way of Christ-like sacrifice surround us in so many different scenarios and situations. I think that the sort of reflection that we have to do during this time is different than normal. And I also think that we owe it to ourselves to cut our own selves some slack, to not be so critical on ourselves, to not be so worried about what we are or are not doing during this time. A lot of people had these grand visions for what they would accomplish if they had so much time at home. a lot of people said, I will learn a new language. I will learn to play the piano. I will teach myself French. I will work out every day. And that's not exactly, for some people, happening. And that's okay. Because we're living through different times. We don't have our normal routines. We are not being lazy. We are indeed being brave. We are indeed processing so much information on a daily basis. We have so much coming into our brains that we are having to process and make sense of, both intellectually and emotionally, that I think we deserve compassion on our own selves. We deserve self-care as well. So, where does that leave us for this seventh week worship packet? Well, I chose that this week we would focus on women. And that's largely because I had noticed that most of the figures that I was lifting up in previous week's worship packets were men. And I thought that we would focus this week on two women artists that were prolific and imaginative and really shook the art world of the 20th century and continue to do so today, as well as asking Nina to lift up some women composers and musicians. And so that is what we have done this week. And the two artists that you have been experiencing through this week's worship packet are Elaine de Kooning and Helen Frankenthaler, both of which lived and worked in the same environment and in the same artistic movement of abstract expressionism in the mid-20th century. Elaine de Kooning was the wife of the famous artist Willem de Kooning, and often historians and art commentators focus more on him than they do on her, even though her body of work is just as impressive and as groundbreaking as his was. And Helen Frankenthaler is an abstract expressionist who came from Connecticut and who is an extremely widely collected and important artist, particularly in some of the methods that she was the first to experiment with. I hope that you had a chance to watch the video on Helen Frankenthaler in the internet field trip portion of the worship packet, because she really had to carve out her own space in the company of all of these men in the 1950s and the 1960s in the New York City abstract expressionist art world. Helen would have had to have fought tooth and nail for virtually everything, including gallery representation, including being taken seriously among art critics. And she was persistent, and she was a fighter, and she knew what she wanted, and her art was groundbreaking, and she carved out a place for herself at a time that would have been very difficult to do that. And so I love Helen Frankenthaler's vision for the way that she talks about art making in a way that I think that all of us can apply to our daily lives. And if you had noticed in that documentary, one of my favorite quotes is when she is talking about how she makes art differently than what is sort of the traditional way of art making at that time. Helen Frankenthaler was really interested in this idea of action painting. And Nina was inspired by this and picked music for this week's worship packet that embodies action painting and abstract expressionism. So it's perfectly coordinated. But Helen loved this idea that you would be on the floor and you would be in and among and around this painting and you would be splattering art, splattering paint, and you would be really involved physically and viscerally in what you were doing. And she had visited Jackson Pollock and had seen sort of the way that he really put physicality into his painting. And she was inspired by that, but she did it in her own way. And came up with this very new way of using diluted oil paint on unvarnished canvases. And my favorite quote from her is when she says, traditionally, you painted a painting and you were seated in front of it. She says, no, you should be waltzing all around it. You should be on the floor with it.
And sometimes you make a mess and you have to throw it away because it's not precious goods. You are precious goods. And I think that that hit me in a way when I first heard that, that made me fall in love with her, because that is an expression of her artistic vision, but it is also a motto for a certain way of living that recognizes that we must be invested in what we are doing. We must be waltzing around it, on the floor with it, working with it, with confidence, and building something. And it's okay if we make a mess, and it's okay if we're not successful, and it's okay if we are in quarantine and we don't get a lot done because there's so much going on and we're still trying to process existing in this world. That's okay. Sometimes you make a mess and you throw it away, and that's not the precious goods. You are the precious goods. And there is such truth to that, of the way that we must honor ourselves and take care of ourselves and recognize that we are on this walk to Emmaus, and that Jesus, no matter what we get done or what we don't get done, knows that we are precious goods and will appear to us and walk with us and break bread with us. And that will be a holy moment when we understand there is nothing that we can do or that we cannot do that will cause Jesus to not make an abundant table for us with an open seat where we will be called beloved and we will know that we are loved. May it be so. Amen.